Welcome to the Oceanovation Dublin podcast. Here at Oceanovation, we're all about the ocean, celebrating people and companies who are making a real difference in their own way. The Dublin podcast is our weekly rendezvous where innovators, scientists, investors, founders, and ocean lovers share their insights and solutions to protect our ocean for future generations. I'm your host, Elodie Dalliot. Let's dive in.
Hi, Marisa, how are you doing today?
Hello. I am very good coming to you from Cape Town in South Africa. Thank you so much for including me in this conversation.
I mean, Cape Town is home for me, so it was an easy one. I always want to say like, okay, screw it, let's do it. It's very inviting. I mean, it's what you are, you know, it's the message you're sending. So there's a couple of reasons why I'm very excited to have you on board today. First, you are a very strong and inspiring woman in the entrepreneurship ecosystem in South Africa. And those words together in the same sentence, it needs to be acknowledged. It's huge because it makes a difference for people. What I mean is that I think you describe yourself as an entrepreneur for entrepreneurs, which Correct. Is very relevant, I think, for all the pioneers and innovators out there because they're looking for someone to relate to. And I think it's why it talks so much for our innovator ecosystem is that they're gladly hearing other entrepreneurs, but they want to relate to someone, to share an experience, to feel that they're actually connected and they're actually going through the same experience. So when it comes to tackling some of the challenges they're facing from being building a business or a venture or going through the financing part, it can be challenging. So yeah, thank you for that. I think it's very exciting for us. And your energy is obviously obvious. So we're really glad to have you. Seriously.
No, thank you so much. I think for me to comment on that is I am an entrepreneur, have been an entrepreneur for all of my adult life. And today I have a job where I work for someone else. But I think when the person you work for is probably one of the greatest living entrepreneurs, it's okay then to say, fine, this is for you. I will be who I am. But what's incredible is showing up in an organization where you are asked and required to show up as you are. So show up as the entrepreneur that you are. And so more importantly, I also view myself as a connector, meaning that, you know, my purpose is to connect people to each other and to opportunities. And so when I put those two concepts together in terms of being an entrepreneur for entrepreneurs and being a connector, I can reflect and say that I am who I wished I had when I started my first business. Yeah. And so that is exactly the thing that keeps me up at night and also gets me out of bed in terms of, am I being of service to the kind of person and the kind of entrepreneur I was when I started my first business? Mm-hmm. And am I enabling to that person that I was at that time?
That's a very good one. It's like, am I actually servicing someone's need? Like, am I supporting? Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, because you were an entrepreneur, the challenges you went through, well, you know, you can't even say like, hey, good luck, guys. This is great. We're doing like, hey, I've been in your shoes. Like right now, it looks like it's easy for me, but no, like I've done all the steps you're doing. And as you said, it's also a different experience to work for someone else. Even as you mentioned, is a pretty inspiring person to work with anyway. But I think it's why it's so important for them to have someone like you to relate again, to engage. That's- To enable that conversation that will, and I think we were just, before we actually started this discussion, we were mentioning about how a lot of founders, they dissociate themselves from their businesses. And it's almost like the first mistake that's being made. Like you are the business.
Like, absolutely. And I think that's why, you know, first of all, big shout out to even the team in the Branson Center, where every person in the Branson Center is an entrepreneur. I mean, if we did a tally of collectively in our team, how many businesses we've started, broken, sold, run away from, it's quite a scary number. And then at the same time, this idea of disassociation. And so that's why we're so, so driven by the idea of purpose in terms of why do you do what you do? And I think that's why even when I introduce myself now, I talk about my purpose first, because that will then actually start showing you the lens through which I look at the world and what it is that energizes me or what it is that I just cannot compute. Because, for example, as I said, I'm all about connecting people to each other. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to put me in a room where I need to sit behind a screen all day long, churning out reports or writing up proposals, you're killing my entire sense of being and why I do what I do. So it is important that you put me in front of people all the time so that I'm connecting them to each other and to opportunities. And so me being energized means I'm actually enabling others by enabling my purpose, which is like, it's so crazy when you start
looking
at it. But that's the power of not decoupling and disassociating yourself from the thing that you created, because it came from you.
But they say you can't make people happy if you're not happy yourself. So it's the same principle of like, you can't support the others if you're yourself not fulfilling what you have, you know, present for and what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, some people are great behind the screen. I think it's fantastic for them. They fit the role. But then if you're a connector and an enabler, I would say, it's important that you actually fit in that environment. So that brings me to like a little, obviously, you guys are doing a lot of cool thing in South Africa, and I'm really obviously close to my heart. Looking at we talked about the challenges that the ocean space is bringing, but also the opportunities, especially for South African, what would you say, coming to your mind, the first thing, like what is key for all these businesses that have amazing ideas, amazing project, to create that impact? Because it's all about creating an impact again. And then we'll come back later on, like, what does impact mean, which is, I think, a very interesting one. Yes. So what do you think is key to create impact? Because they want to be part of the change, right? They want to create that change. And I think, not that I was talking to you, but obviously watch on your podcast as well, because you're incredible. You interviewed Richard Branson last year.
Yes.
And there was something that came to my, like, stick to my mind, was like, business can be a force of good.
Yes.
And that was part of your discussion with him. And I want to understand, how does it apply, for example, in the ocean space, like we're doing it now, or the renewable space? And maybe you can just maybe mention some of the activities you're running around that.
Yeah. So I think, first of all, the notion of business as a force for good is, it's so simple and it's so revolutionary in terms of saying that you can build a profitable business that has a tangible impact on an economy or a series of economies, whilst having a positive impact where you enable people to thrive and you also enable the planet to sustain the people on it.
And
it's crazy. I mean, to be able to do that, that really is the idea of business as a force for good. And so what does it mean to then have a business that can have impact? And what do you need to do? And I think the first thing is to actually be able to articulate the impact and make sure that impact is by design in your business. What happens is that a lot of time we see impact as a consequence of what we're doing in our business, as opposed to it being fundamental to why we do what we do in our businesses. And so the only way impact can be fundamental in your business is when you are clear and you articulate it, meaning that you then are able to describe what success looks like when your impact is being realized. Once you're able to describe what success looks like, you then can start putting in metrics and you can measure success.
Yeah. How do we get there? Yeah.
Absolutely. And then, because you're a business, what is one of the ways you can measure success? Well, obviously in terms of revenue and profitability, alongside then some of the targets that sit along whatever your, you know, indicator of success is around impact. And so for me, it's about articulate the impact first before you even try and work out what success
is, like what everything, yeah.
First articulate, be clear on the impact that you want to see that is driven through your business, which is a force for good.
But it's interesting because I think now in the investment rational, I would say, it's also something that is being asked, right? Like, what is your impact? And like business plan and spreadsheet, like, no, what are you sitting on the value chain? And on a bigger picture, what are you servicing? And I think it's, people kind of put this aside of like, it will be the consequence of. And that's why I like the fact that you mentioned that, like, it needs to be the essence of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, to be honest, that's talking about Richard Branson Center, this is what you guys are doing. You driven by the impact you're creating. And then you look at it. How do we make it happen? What channel are we using? What people are we engaging? You know, what project are we going to jump on? Like the Ocean Innovation Challenge, but you have another one that's obviously related to better planet, better people for the greater good. So it's a very interesting and innovative approach to, you know, business, I think, that you have. And as I was telling you a bit before, like, very different from the usual incubator, accelerator principle of like, you know, welcome, here's a training, good luck. And I think it's what I was telling to Wesley a while back, is that there's a huge focus on quality over the quantity of people that you're taking under your wings. Because at the end of the day, you want to be able to put them, you know, in front of investors or potential financial bodies that will help them to grow and that will empower them financially to grow their business. So, so can you dive a bit more? Like, how do you do this with the center? You know, how do you help innovators to understand how to position themselves at their best, you know, for partner, investor, and the rest of the ecosystem?
So I think it starts off with, it's clear that whenever we work with a founder who is building a venture, it is also for the founder and their team to understand what is our purpose as the Branson Center. Mm. Our purpose is to change business for good, full stop, which, by the way, is the purpose of the entire Virgin Group. And we are but a representation of the Virgin Group. So when a venture and through their founders partners with the Branson Center, it's not about it being a top-down relationship. It's coming in from this point of view of partnership. Understand our purpose. We will either help you get to a point of articulating your purpose so that you can understand your purpose and therefore we understand your purpose. Yep. And then from that assumption, we then understand that we're working together as partners, meaning that when we are working with the founding teams, we're not here to train or teach, we're here to enable. And so to enable, what are the ingredients that you need to make sure that this team can go on to then really drive deep impact in what they're doing? We think there are three things that any business needs in order to then be enabled to deliver on impact. That business needs to have access to network. Yep. So this is a group of champions, advocates, people who will talk about your business even when you're not in the room. Network is absolutely important. These are people who also bring you into the room if you're not in the room. The second is access to market.
Yep.
You know, you can only grow your business so much by mentoring, by, you know, writing down your plans. Yeah. You need real life customers who are going to make sure that they are paying for the product or the service that you have. At the same time, your customers are probably going to be the most reliable form of feedback on whether or not what you are delivering into the market is relevant or needed. Mm-hmm. And so it's also the biggest teacher that you will ever have in terms of how to grow your business, because it doesn't matter how beautiful and how in love you are with your business and its idea. If there are no customers who are willing to pay for it, it's not a business.
Yeah.
And then the third piece, of course, is access to financing. And so, you know, what's interesting is most founders come in with the idea that the first thing that they need is financing. They also always need all of the financing right now to grow their businesses. Now, when you start presenting this as this three-part, you know, combination of things to enable you, you then realize that sometimes you can reduce the need for the one because you've increased access to the other. So you may not need as much finance as you think you need if you have access to the right customers. You may not need, you know, a huge customer acquisition strategy if you have great access to network. Mm-hmm. And so it's the interplay between those three things that for us is what we bring into the, you know, the businesses with whom we partner. And then the not so secret sauce in terms of why does it work, because we do it the way that we do it as the Branson Center, is understand that we are a for-profit business ourselves, which means that we are coming in entrepreneurially minded, coming off with the DNA that is the Virgin Group, which has been in existence for 53 years, has disrupted over 50 industries around the world. We've learned a few things. And so we can infuse that in terms of being able to get the founders to embody that. And then I think there's an attitude and an attribute that comes through, whether it's because of Sir Richard or because of Virgin, which is, are you having fun?
Yeah.
And that's really, really an important question. And are you ready every now and again to say, screw it, let's do it? And so that's part of the energy that we bring in and kind of being able to provide a sense of confidence within the businesses that you can screw it and do it. You won't break it. I promise you, you won't break it. And if you do, we're here. That's why we're here, wrapped around you with this very specific support that is relevant to you and your business and your industry. So we don't run training programs. We don't have classrooms. We don't have webinars. We don't have cohorts.
That's amazing.
And so perhaps to you know, bring it back into even the ocean economy is for us why the ocean economy was interesting to us is that there are two things that we found interesting. First of all, we are deeply, deeply committed to what we're calling the Earth Shots. You know, having become also an official nominator for the Earth Shot Prize, is how can we look at business is a force for good in a way in which we can repair our planet.
Yeah.
And so how can we find solutions that talk to, you know, reviving our oceans, cleaning our air, fixing our climate, looking at habitat. And I think the fifth one, see, I always have a list and then I always forget the last thing on my list.
It's all right.
But if you go to the Earthshot Prize website. And so the first thing is the earth shots in terms of how can we use business to repair our planet. The second thing is then we looked at the ocean and we realized that, for example, 90% of the stuff we consume, just stuff that we consume in South Africa, arrived here on water.
Yeah.
90% of what we consume. So in terms of when you start thinking of the commercial opportunities that exist in terms of what can happen in ocean
economy, yes.
Unbelievable. By the time you start thinking about the amount of coastline that South Africa has, never mind the world, it then starts talking about what you can do around tourism, what you can do with activities, what you can do with food security. And then, of course, when you look at the ocean